DiscerningHearts.com, in cooperation with the Oblates of the Virgin Mary, presents Begin Again, the Spiritual Legacy of Venerable Bruno Lanteri with Father Timothy Gallagher. Father Gallagher was ordained in 1979 as a member of the Oblates of the Virgin Mary. He obtained his doctorate from the Gregorian University, and he has dedicated many years to an extensive ministry of retreats, spiritual direction, and teachings about the spiritual life. Father Gallagher is the author of several books published by the Crossroads Publishing Company on the spiritual teachings of St. Ignatius of Loyola and the life of Venerable Bruno Lanteri. Father Gallagher is featured on the EWTN series Living the Discerning Life, the spiritual teachings of St. Ignatius of Loyola. Begin Again, the Spiritual Legacy of Venerable Bruno Lanteri with Father Timothy Gallagher. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Welcome, Father Gallagher.
Thanks, Chris.
Over the course of our conversations, we've come to know fairly well the life of Venerable Bruno Lanteri. Now we kind of move into a different vantage point in which we really look at the spiritual side of his life and how it influenced him. And one of the greatest influences that he had was his relationship with the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Yes, you know, I think we said several conversations ago that this began very early in his life, when his own mother sadly died when he was at the age of four, and how he would say toward the end of his life that he'd hardly ever known any other mother than Mary. And you can feel the human void in that. And the details of this we don't know, but in some way his father, who was a devout Catholic, turned his young son's attention to Mary in some very specific way at that point in his life, in a way that he never forgot, which is a striking thing for a faith-filled father to do for his son in such unhappy circumstances. And as I was writing the book, I realized after a while that the one place where Venerable Bruno uses very tender kind of language is when he's speaking of Mary. He certainly has a sense of God as his father being very loving, very merciful, very welcoming. And so he has great confidence in the goodness of God as his father. But where he uses the language most richly of tenderness is in his relationship with Mary. He'll speak of wanting to have the tender love of a son for his mother in relationship to Mary. After his death, the priest who was his confessor in the last years of his life, Father Ferrero, wrote up a brief description. It was actually to give information to the priest who was going to preach the funeral homily, and described for him at one point in these pages he wrote the deep devotion of Venerable Lanteri for Mary. And the word that he uses is he was innamorato. You can hear amor, the Latin love, in that, to be in love with. That's the word, a young man and young woman in Italian, that's still the word that they use of each other when they speak of having fallen in love one with the other. They are innamorati, the one with the other. And this is the word that Father Ferrero uses to sum up and describe the deep relationship of love that was there between Venerable Lanteri and Mary. She was there right at the very beginning of his life. And strikingly seems also to have been there, if I may jump for a moment to the very last 2 months of his life, the final illness, when he was 71, confined to his bed. There were two little incidents that you find in the documents. A young brother, Pietro, was asked to assist him day by day in those last months of his life. And you can imagine a certain closeness developed as they spent so much time together in those weeks. And many years later, when Brother Pietro was himself elderly, he was asked, with a view to keeping conserved in the archives all that they could about the life of Venerable Lanteri, to share his remembrances of those last weeks of the life of Venerable Lanteri. And he did this. He wrote this down. It's very simple. It's not always grammatically correct. He was a tailor's assistant before he entered the Oblates and had no particular education. A long and faithful religious life, and always held Venerable Lanteri in high esteem. He writes about one time when they were together in Venerable Anteri's room, and they were saying the rosary. Bruno was seated in his chair, and Brother Pietro was kneeling beside him as they said the rosary together. When at a certain point, Bruno interrupted the recitation of the rosary and asked the brother, who was the lady who had just been there? And the brother, in his simplicity, simply answered that he hadn't seen any lady, that this was a cloistered area, that there wasn't any lady there. And then Venerable Anteri simply resumed the recitation of the rosary. In those last weeks, also said on several occasions to Father Ferrero, his confessor, that he had a beautiful lady with a lovely child in her arms who never left him and never would say anything more about it than that. Now, the early oblates themselves always understood this, and I don't know how else you could understand this other than that this was a very special presence of Our Lady to him, who had been so important to him in the initial sorrows of his life in his early years, was there as the tenderness and the warmth that he needed to get through the difficult days of his final illness. But those are just the bookends, as it were. Throughout the entirety of his life, she was always very much at the forefront in his spiritual life. Now, I'm going to quote a few things from that page I mentioned that Father Ferrero wrote. This was really, he wrote this one day after Venerable Anteri had died, so that all of this was very fresh in his consciousness. And these are just avenues into the heart of his relationship with Mary. And they're also avenues which can open up and foster relationship with Mary, I think, in anyone's life. One of the things he would do is that where he lived, he would always want pictures of Mary up and around. And not just even where he lived, but any place where he went or was involved or worked, he would always like to see paintings or images of Mary within sight. I think it's something like you go into an office, let's say it's the secretary's desk, and there's a picture of her children on the wall, you know, or there may be many pictures like that. We want the pictures around us of those whom we love because they're dear to us and we want to be reminded about them. When we keep pictures up in the places where we live and work, I remember going into one home, this was an elderly couple, the grandmother of numerous grandchildren, the entire front of her refrigerator was covered with pictures of all the different families and nieces and nephews. Whenever we do that, that's always because these are people who are dear to us. There's a real love for them in our hearts, and we want to keep them fresh in our consciousness. And this would be one way that the Venerable Anteri did this throughout his life. He also had a collection of books about Mary. And Father Ferrero calls it a precious collection. So it's obviously something that he put some love and some energy into over the course of the years of his life in getting together on the shelves in his room a number of books which spoke of Mary. And Father Ferrero tells us that he had the practice of reading from these books for a few hours every week. Now, as I've thought about that over the years, I think, Chris, if we were to take any topic at all that might be important to us and spend a few hours a week reading about it, and to do that week after week, year after year, obviously we're going to grow in a deep learning or consciousness. If it's some area of history or geography or a sport that we play, whatever it might be, that kind of faithful taking in new thoughts and new information to ponder and meditate and explore will gradually lead to a deepening in understanding and, I think, an opening of the heart ever more toward the focus of that kind of reading. What if we were to consider doing that? What if we were to have at our disposal some of the classic books about Mary? Obviously, the one that first comes to mind would be St. Louis de Montfort's Treatise on True Devotion to Mary, St. Alphonsus, The Glories of Mary, Venerable Fulton Sheen's The World's First Love, the writings and talks on Mary of Pope John Paul II, and there are many, many wonderful books on Mary that are out there. What if we had in our homes a few of those and were to try week after week to spend an hour here, 15 minutes there, just learning more and more about Mary. That would really fuel a devotion and cause it to grow deeper and deeper and more, how would we say, theologically centered and solid and nourishing. It's one thing that has always struck me about Venerable Lanteri's spirituality is that it's ageless in a sense. It's striking how the writings of his that we have written 200 years ago can apply almost unchanged today, because you see this in the saints, something like True Devotion to Mary and so on. These writings are timeless because they're so solidly rooted in the real deep and rich center and theological truth of the particular area of the faith that they describe. And that's true of Venerable Lanteri. And I suspect that you see something of how this happened, this kind of theologically rich and therefore nourishing devotion to Mary, because throughout his life, week after week, quietly, he was reading and learning more and more about Mary in Catholic teaching and in Catholic spirituality.
We'll return to Begin Again with Father Timothy Gallagher in just a moment. Did you know that Discerning Hearts has a free app in which you can find all your favorite Discerning Hearts programming? Father Timothy Gallagher, Dr. Anthony Lillis, Deacon James Keating, Mike Aquilina, Dr. Matthew Bunsen, and so many more are found on the Discerning Hearts free app. Did you also know that you can stream Discerning Hearts programming on numerous streaming platforms such as Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and so many more? And did you know that Discerning Hearts also has the YouTube page? Be sure to check out all these different places where you can find Discerning Hearts. The Councils of Mercy, an excerpt from the writings of Venerable Bruno Lanteri, founder of the Oblates of the Virgin Mary.
Above all, I recommend with all my heart that you guard against discouragement, disturbance, and sadness. Seek always to keep your poor heart in peace and encourage it, and always to serve God with holy joy. Be of good heart, because the Lord is with you and He loves you.
For more excerpts from the writings of Venerable Bruno Lanteri, visit discerninghearts.com.
Hello, my name is Deacon Omar Gutierrez, and I want to ask you to support Discerning Hearts in a special way. We, Chris McGregor, the board, and I all know that not everyone listening can help financially. We know we have listeners from all parts of the world, and we have made a commitment since the beginning to make the truths shared through Discerning Hearts totally free. So while you may not be able to contribute financially, what you can do is certainly pray, but also give us positive reviews on whatever platform you use to listen to us. If it's iTunes, Android, Stitcher, or Spotify, however it is that you get these podcasts, or if you're on YouTube and you like our videos, please give us a good rating and write a review. The more good ratings and reviews we get, the higher our profile, and the more listeners will discover us, listeners who may have the means to contribute in the future. Please consider rating us and writing a positive review today.
Litany of Loreto.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, hear us.
Christ, graciously hear us.
God, the Father of heaven,
have mercy on us.
God, the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy on us.
God, the Holy Spirit,
have mercy on us.
Holy Trinity, one God,
have mercy on us.
Holy Mary,
pray for us.
Holy Mother of God,
pray for us.
Holy Virgin of Virgins,
pray for us.
Mother of Christ,
pray for us.
Mother of Divine Grace,
pray for us.
Mother most pure,
pray for us.
Mother most chaste,
pray for us.
Mother inviolate,
pray for us.
Mother undefiled,
pray for us.
Mother most amiable,
pray for us.
Mother most admirable,
pray for us.
Mother of good counsel,
pray for us.
Mother of our Creator,
pray for us.
Mother of our Savior,
pray for us.
Virgin most prudent,
pray for us.
Virgin most venerable,
pray for us.
Virgin most renowned,
pray for us.
Virgin most powerful,
pray for us.
Virgin most merciful,
pray for us.
Virgin most faithful,
pray for us.
Mirror of justice,
pray for us.
Seat of wisdom,
pray for us.
Cause of our joy,
pray for us.
Spiritual vessel,
pray for us.
Vessel of honor,
pray for us.
Singular vessel of devotion,
pray for us.
Mystical rose,
pray for us.
Tower of David,
pray for us.
Tower of ivory,
pray for us.
House of gold,
pray for us.
Ark of the covenant,
pray for us.
Gate of heaven,
pray for us.
Morning star,
pray for us.
Health of the sick,
pray for us.
Refuge of sinners,
pray for us.
Comforter of the afflicted,
pray for us.
Help of Christians,
pray for us.
Queen of angels,
pray for us.
Queen of patriarchs,
pray for us.
Queen of prophets,
pray for us.
Queen of apostles,
pray for us.
Queen of martyrs,
pray for us.
Queen of confessors,
pray for us.
Queen of virgins,
pray for us.
Queen of all saints,
pray for us.
Queen conceived without original sin,
pray for us.
Queen assumed into heaven,
pray for us.
Queen of the Most Holy Rosary,
pray for us.
Queen of families,
pray for us.
Queen of peace,
pray for us.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world,
spare us, O Lord.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world,
graciously hear us, O Lord.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world,
have mercy on us.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God,
that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ.
Let us pray. Grant, we beseech thee, O Lord God, that we, thy servants, may enjoy perpetual health of mind and body, and by the glorious intercession of Blessed Mary, ever virgin, may we be freed from present sorrow and rejoice in eternal happiness. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
We now return to Begin Again with Father Timothy Gallagher.
Another practice that he had was the celebration of novenas in preparation to the Marian feasts throughout the years, throughout the liturgical year. So, for example, when August 15th would approach, it would not be for him simply something to nourish his piety on the day itself, August 15th, but he would begin 9 days earlier, spending some time in prayer and reflection on the meaning of the Feast of the Assumption, opening his heart in prayer to prepare for that feast. And would do this, the Immaculate Conception, Mary the Mother of God, the various feasts of Mary throughout the year. It was his practice to prepare them with a novena. This too is something that I've thought about over the years as I've gotten to know Venerable Bruno better, that what it would mean to live the Marian feasts throughout the year in this way. Now, obviously, he did this because those feasts and Mary, who was celebrated in them, was very dear to his heart. But you can see it working the other way around, too, that by preparing so consciously for these celebrations, they would leave a deep spiritual imprint in his heart year by year as he would celebrate them. And so here, too, through the very liturgy itself, which the Church tells us is the real center of our whole life of prayer, the very liturgy itself becomes a deep source of entering more deeply into the mystery of Mary and who she is and her life and her role in the history of salvation, and also experiencing ever more deeply the love and the bond and the communion with her that grow through approaching her as the Church celebrates her liturgically. Now, Father Ferrero also tells us that he spoke very frequently about Mary. In the Italian, he uses the superlative form of the adjective. Frequente means frequently. Frequentissimamente means as frequently as you can imagine. You know, that's what I've translated here, very frequently. Now, that too, if you think about it, you know, you meet people who will sooner or later in any conversation wind up on their favorite topic. You know, I remember one fellow I knew who was from a particular geographical location, and you always knew that in the conversation, and he was living far from his original place, which was obviously something he held very, very dear. You always knew that sooner or later the conversation was going to slip toward his native place and the experiences of life there and the way people are there. Obviously, that happened because that was very, very dear to his heart, something that he could never forget. Or, you know, certain people, if you are in conversation, you're going to wind up speaking on themes from science or politics or history or the family, what the family members are doing, a favorite sport, you know, the one who always gets back to golf or whatever it might be. When a person speaks very frequently about something, that tells us that that topic is very frequently, if not always, present to the heart of this person. It's something which is the heart, the mouth speaks from the abundance of the heart, as the old Latin saying goes. And if Father Lanteri was a person who spoke very frequently about Mary, what that would mean is that if you went to confession to him, for example, regularly, you were going to be hearing about Mary and invited to get closer to Mary. If you listened to him preach, it would not be long before you would be hearing about Mary, and you'd get to expect that you were going to be hearing about her. If you came to him for spiritual direction, she was going to be present in that conversation. If he was teaching a group of laymen and laywomen or forming a group of priests in the spiritual life, you always knew that sooner or later Mary was going to come into it. So let's just, think of what that means, of how deeply she was present in his heart. He told his oblates that whenever they gave a retreat, he always wanted a talk on Mary given. She was always to be a part of things. Think of someone like in our own time, St. John Paul II. The same thing could be said of him, that whatever context or wherever, whatever initiative he undertook in the Church, Mary was always going to be there as a part of it. There was such a deep love. She was so real for him. That was eminently true of Venerable Lanteri. And I think it's true to say that we touched there one of the keys of his sanctity. As Louis de Montfort, you know, always repeats that the easiest, quickest, happiest, most fruitful way to Jesus is Mary. And if a person is living a richly centered, deeply warm and loving, constant relationship with Mary, inevitably that person is going to grow closer to Christ, and something very holy is going to happen in that person's life. Father Ferrero tells us that he would repeat that it was not enough just to help others to come to be devoted to Mary, which is a very beautiful thing, but also necessary to lead others to the next step, which is a great confidence in Mary. something that is deeply rooted in our Catholic spiritual tradition in relationship to Mary, that there's something safe, free from danger and harm in being close to Mary. The famous Memorare, remember, O Most Blessed Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who sought thy help, implored thy help, sought thy intercession, was ever left unaided. The sense that you can't turn to Mary and ask her help and ever be other than helped, even more richly than we could have ever even asked for. And so it was his goal to help others to have that same kind of deep confidence in Mary, that whatever situation I may find myself in life, whatever struggles I or my family or in any aspect of my life, health, whatever it may be, I may be undergoing, if I turn to Mary, I'm not going to be let down. I'm not going to be disappointed. There is an instinct, I think, in our Catholic spiritual tradition that says when we are at that point where we feel desperate, where we don't know where else to turn, we no longer know what to do, and the situation is critical, in that situation, our hearts spontaneously turn to Mary. Never was it known that anyone who fled to thee and so on was ever left unaided. That instinct is deeply rooted in the Catholic spiritual tradition. And it's to that kind of relationship with Mary that Venerable Lanteri always wanted to lead others. So that's a brief summary of some of the aspects of the way in which Venerable Lanteri related to Mary in his own personal life.
Father Gallagher, would you say that this appreciation of Mary's role in our spiritual lives is almost like a mantle, as it were, that enwraps the spiritual exercises and the disciplines that Venerable Lanteri would encourage his directees to follow?
Yes, very much. And that is an essential piece of why when he founded a religious community, it was simply unquestioned in his heart that it would ever be other than dedicated to Mary.
This concludes part one of our discussion with Father Timothy Gallagher. Join us in our next episode as we continue our discussion on the life of the Venerable Bruno Lanteri and devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. You've been listening to Begin Again, the spiritual legacy of Venerable Bruno Lanteri with Father Timothy Gallagher. To hear and or to download this conversation, along with hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts in cooperation with the Oblates of the Virgin Mary. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We pray that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission, and if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we ask that you tell a friend about discerninghearts.com and join us next time for Begin Again, the spiritual legacy of Venerable Bruno Lanteri with Father Timothy Gallagher.